In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My father's father was a simple farmer who didn't have a great education, but my father passed on to me his definition of what a communist was, and it has a certain amount of insight. He said, a communist is someone who ain't got nothing, who wants to share with you what you got. And that is the motivation for a lot of the rank-and-file membership that over the years have supported communists, people who don't have anything and are promised to get a bunch of stuff by their leaders. But in reality, it's not those people who cook up these kinds of ideas. It's people who come from very well-off backgrounds, typically. People who come from the middle class or even from the wealthier class, people who were educated by the very system that they set out to overthrow. 100 years ago this week, the communist in the city of Kiev took the 70-year-old Metropolitan Vladimir out, and they beat him, and they shot him, and they bayoneted him to death. He was the first bishop to be killed by the communist. And so the Russian church set aside the Sunday nearest to that day to commemorate the new martyrs and confessors of the Russian church. This was a country that was deeply religious prior to this time, although obviously there were people at certain layers of society that were not so. But your common people were very religious. The Tsar was respected. The church had a very important role in society. And if you grew up in that culture, you would have never imagined that the day would come when you would see people looting churches and destroying them in the name of the government. But that day came. Before the Bolshevik Revolution, there were about 80,000 churches that would include monastery churches, chapels, but about 50,000 parishes. And within 20 years, there were only about 200 churches that were still functioning on any level at all in the entirety of what was the Russian Empire. There were only about 4 bishops who were free. All the other bishops were in prison. At one point, there were about 150 bishops who were imprisoned, and that there were only about 119 bishops before the Bolshevik Revolution. So that means that they not only imprisoned most of the bishops, but they were imprisoning their replacements as fast as they could be made. About half of the clergy had been killed. Most of them were imprisoned or in exile in some way, but they were certainly being repressed. And an untold number, millions of people, were killed because of their faith, and many more were killed just simply because they were inconvenient to the communist government. And so we see the beginning of not just the deaths of many people, but of misery and deprivation that extended to hundreds of millions of people. And you might think, well, maybe it was just because they were anti-Christian that they did all of these things. Well, if you look at communist China, where they weren't motivated by a large Christian population, they killed many more people. Communism is just a very brutal system. Communism is the idea that we can somehow kick God out of society. Religion will just simply wither on the vine because we've reached a certain state of enlightenment, although the communists always seem to feel like they need to help nature to help religion wither on the vine by actively repressing it rather than just allowing it to wither on its own. But they have this idea that by decree, the state can establish equality and justice for all. Now, if they have to kill hundreds of millions of people to make that justice happen, that's okay, because they have this ideology, which is essentially a replacement for a religion. Now, this is all history to us, but we should pay attention to it, because I have a feeling, I fear, that this may be our future. This may not be the future that I will see before I go on to my reward, but I am very fearful for my children, my grandchildren, because we have a society that has forgotten the lessons of history. We don't even remember what happened last year, much less what happened in the last 100 years. But we have an increasing number of people who are ignorant of the evils of communism and of what communism has done. If you were to run around with a t-shirt that had Adolf Hitler's picture on it, people would not allow you to walk down the street without letting you know their disapproval. But you can go down the street with a picture of Mao Zedong or Che Guevara, two bloodthirsty murderers, and people think that that's cool, that's chic. These people were worse than Hitler. Mao Zedong gets the number one prize for having murdered the most of his own citizens in the history of the human race. Atheists like to talk about all the people who have died in religious wars, but if you added all the deaths of all the religious wars in recorded human history, they pale in comparison to what communism did, militant atheism, in just 100 years. We need to learn that lesson. We need to be aware of the evils of this. And why is it that people are attracted to this? Because they've given up God. They are living an easy life. There's a certain godless materialism, unfortunately, that has prevailed in this country for a long time, although it had sort of a veneer of Christianity. But when you have people who grow in society where everything comes to them easy, and there's no great challenges to them, but they also don't have anything that means anything to them, they are attracted to something that gives them the promise of some meaning. And so even though these people are not among those who ain't got nothing but want to share with you what you got, these people are willing to adopt an ideology that if they paid any attention to history, they would have to know has resulted in the deaths of millions and will continue to do so as long as people continue to advance it. And why is that? Because people are not going to share with those that ain't got nothing out of the goodness of their heart unless they're motivated to do so by a love for God. And the only way that the state can take from those who have and give to those who ain't got nothing is to put a gun to their head. And when people are simply motivated by selfish interest, people are not going to put forth any great effort to produce if all that they produce is just equally distributed among those that produce and those that don't produce. And so the result is starvation and hunger. There's always great famines wherever communism goes, and it's not just a streak of bad luck, it's the nature of the system. Because when you kick God out of your world, and when you also try to establish really what is a Christian utopia without God in it, the only way you can do that is by being brutally repressive. And that is what communism is all about. But the lesson of the New Martyrs is not just simply the negative example of what communism is, but it's the positive example of what believers have done in the face of this great persecution. This persecution was the very first persecution recorded history where the people who were doing it were motivated by atheism. You've had people who were persecuting Christians because they had some other religion. They didn't like the Christian religion, they wanted to maintain their own, or they wanted to impose a new one like the Muslims. This is the first one where people were just simply trying to stamp out religion, and it was the most brutal because these people were not constrained by any divine law. Because as Dostoevsky noted in one of his novels, if there is no God, all things are lawful. If you don't believe that there's a God, really anything goes as long as you can get away with it. And that's exactly what communists do. Communists are willing to go to any length to establish their utopia, and it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, you're going to have to submit to it. That's just the nature of it. But what happened with the Christians in the face of this is, despite the fact that they were being taken out and shot, despite the fact that they were being tortured, despite the fact that they were being persecuted, their families were being separated, despite the fact that they saw their churches destroyed, they maintained their faith. And if you think it's hard to maintain your faith in our society where simply people are mocking Christianity, imagine being in that society where everything is being destroyed around you and it costs you something to maintain your faith. That could be your future, and you need to prepare for that now. But the way to prepare for that is to study the example of the new martyrs and to pray that God will give us the grace to serve and to follow him the same way that they did. Because if God is with us, none can be against us. Christ conquers. Jesus Christ conquers. Christ wins in the end. God is on his throne, and the devil will not win. That's the lesson of this, because if you look in Russia today, there's not just 200 churches open today. There's thousands of churches that are being built and opened across Russia, every year. There were no seminaries in Russia that were open under the communists in certain periods. There are, I believe, even in the nation, close to 100 seminaries across Russia today. People constantly, all over the nation, being prepared for the priesthood. They closed all these seminaries because they hoped to just let all the old priests die off, and then there wouldn't be anyone else left to do the services. That was the plan, but the plan didn't work. God had his own plan, and God triumphed. And when communism collapsed, the last institution in Russia that was standing was the church. So through the prayers of the Holy New Martyrs and Confessors of Russia, let us likewise stand firm in the faith, regardless of the wavering and unbelief of those around us. Amen.